Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Fill her up!
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
We need to roll back the state. We spy on all of our own citizens.
Our prisons are flooded with nonviolent drug offenders.
If you want to know who America's next enemy is, look at who we're funding right now. Every single one of these problems are a result of government being way too big.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of Part of the Problem. I am Dave Smith. He is Robbie the Fire Bernstein, the King of the Calks. This is, in many ways, going to be really our election recap episode. Me and Rob were live streaming on the night of election. I did an episode with Malice the other day, but of course, new information keeps coming in, and this election still is not technically over. Although it looks like it could be any minute now, it could be called for Joe Biden by the corporate press, which is, according to the New York Times, how elections are decided. They tweeted that out recently, that's how the media basically calls it. So I want for this episode to go over everything that's happening. This is a really interesting moment in American history, following a really interesting year in American history. And I want to try to talk about what's happening right now in the moments, and then also try to, you know, as we do, connect it to the bigger picture, because that's really what's important about this. So just to catch up right now, Joe Biden, it looks like they could call Pennsylvania for Joe Biden at any minute. That would put him over 270. They will declare him the president-elect. I think it's a safe guess to say that you won't be hearing a concession speech from Donald Trump today. He's vowed to fight this thing, to go to court, that he won it, that it was stolen from him. But that's basically where we're about to be right now. Joe Biden has overtaken the lead in Pennsylvania. He's ahead by about 7,000 votes. They've got 98% reporting in. The ballots that remain, I think, are 100% mail-in ballots. They favor Joe Biden. It seems like there's no way, by the way the process is currently working and being counted, that anything other than Joe Biden winning is going to happen. Of course, Pennsylvania going to Joe Biden would destroy any path to the nomination for Trump and put Joe Biden over 270. So that's where we are right now as we're recording this. I'm not even sure exactly where to start with all of this. But let me just ask you, Rob, what have you been thinking? I haven't talked to you since the night of election. What have your thoughts been as you've watched the way this has unfolded over the last 48 hours?
First is, I'm furious because I've got OCD and I can't move on in my life. I've been standing in this exact spot since we did the live episode. I haven't moved. I delegated.
Sat down.
I need things to come to an ending in order to move on. I'm hungry. that is extremely annoying to me. But the thing that I guess, not to bum us all out, but it's kind of depressing me here, is that there's no real journalism on any level, to the point that you're just kind of stuck deciding, well, which lie do I feel more comfortable with? And so in this election, let's just go with the most extreme possibilities. The most extreme conspiracy theory would be that the Democrats, to whatever extent they can, always cheat by mail-in voting. That's a thing that they do. They've got some sort of an infrastructure for it. this year, they played up the coronavirus fears so that there'd be more mail-in voting and so that they'd be able to cheat more, because there's only so much of a margin of available votes that you can lie with. And so in this one, they were able to really lie and totally steal the thing. On the other side, maybe there's zero voting fraud whatsoever, or it's minimal, and Donald Trump started talking this up from the very outset. And if anything, the only cheating that existed was that he worked with the head of the post office to try and ensure that there was as minimal amount of mail-in voting as possible so that he could, you know, try and get more of the live voting. We'll never find out. We were never, and here's the biggest thing, no matter how many statisticians come along, because the polls were so bad, it doesn't matter what you point out to me as statistical inaccuracies and the way the voting was, or late night spikes, or this or the next thing. We're never going to get a full investigation. We're never going to get a full picture. This will always be, which lie do you prefer? And I just hate that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's a lot there. And I really agree with what you're saying. But so just to be clear about what happened here, the voting process in America was basically overhauled. We voted for this election in a different way than we ever have before. There's been absentee ballot voting, but first off, it represents a very small percentage of the total vote. And second off, this is very different. This was just the post office sending ballots to everybody who's registered to vote. This was just, however you feel about it, this was a different way to vote. It also meant a lot more people voting. You know, this is the biggest turnout in presidential election history. And a big part of that might be the fact that, I don't know, it's not like traditional voting where you have to get off some hours from work. You have to actually take some time out of your day, you know, whatever the natural deterrent of just a lot of people not really wanting to go stand in line for a few hours or whatever, that was all taken away. It was much easier to just fill out, a ballot at home and mail it in or drop it off.
There's phony votes.
Or there's shenanigans, right? Like that's also possible. But whatever it is, it greatly drove up turnout. And that's where you're in a situation where Joe Biden got more votes than anybody ever has in the history of presidential elections, which already feels odd. Now, Donald Trump, from the very beginning of this, was saying, this is shady. The mail-in ballot situation is ripe for fraud. And the mail-in ballots heavily favored Joe Biden. The day of ballots heavily favored Donald Trump. So that is the situation, however you feel about it, or within the spectrum of what you were saying, what all the possibilities are. That is just factually what happened. A lot more ballots were counted, whether legitimate or illegitimate. And in many cases, I think from my perspective, and I think from the libertarian perspective, it's extending democracy rights is not the best thing. Just more people voting for the sake of more people voting isn't good for anyone. And so that's, you know, in the same sense that, like, you know, more people just having some vote in how we do anything in society, it's not a given that that's going to lead to a better outcome. You know, like we've talked about this type of stuff a million times, but like, you know, if there's like a broken down car, and who do you want to hear from, like mechanics, or do you think everyone should just get a vote in how we fix the car? It's like, why is it clear that someone who's never driven a car in their life and has no idea how a car works should get a vote on this? Anyway, all of that aside, where we are now is that Donald Trump is saying this is all bullshit. And now I got to say, I don't see how Donald Trump hangs on to the presidency at this point. I don't see how it possibly happens. Then that's not to say that there isn't any voter fraud. I don't trust elections ever, ever. I don't trust the government program known as democracy to give us accurate results. I don't have some faith in the government to tell the truth. And also, it's never exactly accurate. And they know that there's been recounts in lots of different elections. I mean, they don't sway by huge amounts, but the numbers are always different. It's not like they recount and they go, yes, down to the T, we were right. They're off on what the votes are. This season, with all the voting by mail stuff, this is a whole new system. And then there are some claims of some shady things that happened. There's the kind of conspicuous voting freeze that happened in like four different states, several different cities on election night. There were ballots that came in that all of a sudden, you know, all the ballots for Joe Biden were found in places like Michigan and Wisconsin.
Also, I don't quite understand this structure that I keep hearing about of, I guess, how do Democrats have more control over who's counting the ballots? Is that true or is that a Trump lie? Or are you saying that they're not able to get their people in to watch? So,
well, what I know is that a bunch of the vote like watchers, the observers on the Republican side have claimed that they were not allowed in, or that when they were allowed in, they were kept like 100 feet away so they couldn't see what was going on. That's their claim. Again, that's the I don't know exactly how true that is or to what degree it is or isn't true. Regardless of it, that's their claim. And they say they're going to go to court with this. The problem is that once the ballots are in, if you didn't watch what happened, now it's just a ballot. There's also no way, at least I don't think, in terms of a legal challenge, that you're going to if the ballots are taken out of the envelopes that they're in. The envelopes are thrown away. Now you just have a ballot. There's no way to trace it back to the address to make sure this was right or that was right. I just think it's
so you're saying that could have potentially been an intentful and very good scam where you lock the doors and you basically say, just open up as many of these as you can and keep the doors locked. Eventually they'll open it. And then that's the end of what we can do. But until that happens, just open as many ballots as you can. And there'd be no way to unwork that.
Well, that's right. I mean, potentially. I mean, I don't know. Or it's just not, or it's just, you know, there's just nothing to do with it. One way or the other. It's like, if you have, even if you were to say, okay, well, there were like, you know, whatever, 10,000 ballots that we weren't allowed to watch. You're like, okay, which 10,000 were they? I don't know. No one fucking knows. Who do we take those votes away from? It's going to be.
I just want to point out that I think 3 months ago, you and I said on this that it was infuriating that we were going into this knowing that it was a mess and they were just going to move forward anyways. I mean, if you're going to take, let's just go with the scam of democracy. You're going to take a lot of our money every single year and promise us that you're really good at delivering goods and services. You can't even deliver an election. You knew going into this that there were going to be problems. Any other business in the world, if you're going to product launch, you got your iPhone and you know it's not going to work, you've worked it out. Because you can't just deliver a product that doesn't work. That's the way the market works. How do you have the most important thing where we're deciding who's going to lead? Where it's the framework of the whole thing, well, is that we get to pick a winner and you don't have a structure in place that works and you know going into it that it doesn't work.
But here's the thing, right? This is what I think people really need to understand, is that it does work. It works for what it's intended to work toward, you know? Like, it does work. This is the libertarian thing that they really get completely wrong. And, you know, this has always been the beltway libertarian assessment of the state, is that it's just so inefficient. And, you know, it's just like, oh, my God, it's all these politicians with these noble intentions, but they're just a bunch of bumbling jokers. And their programs have all these unintended consequences. And it's like, is it really? Is that so clear? Is it an unintended consequence that like big banks rake in hundreds of billions of dollars in profits? It's like, look, they keep trying to help people, but they're really just helping the bankers. What a bunch of jokers. It's like, no, actually, it seems like maybe that's what it's intended to do. And this right here might very well be what the process was intended to do. But I agree with you that, look, I mean, this whole thing, they couldn't even, you know, make sure that the presidential debate happened. Because Trump had COVID, so it was too dangerous for them to have a debate. It's like, yeah, but Trump had an event that night with NBC News. And they're like, yeah, well, we were able to schedule that at the last minute. So what, you can't schedule a debate? I mean, like, literally, if me and you, like, have a podcast that for one of us can't make the time, we schedule it for the next day. Figure that shit out. This is so important, but you can't schedule it. And then you realize it's like, oh, these are very convenient mistakes.
Also, I guess, if Trump knew that all that, like, how come he couldn't make the prearrangements to ensure that people were going to be there watching it? Like, that kind of sounds, there's an element of that that either sounds like loser mentality to me or some phoniness on their end, that if this was so predictable and you knew that there were going to be all these problems, so why didn't you either do more, I guess, to why weren't there more solutions put in place as opposed to just letting the thing fumble? Yeah. Say you could complain and say it was stolen from you.
Yes.
That's also an aggravating aspect.
Sure. Well, what's a really interesting thought experiment, of course, you can file this in the doesn't matter in reality, but it's still an interesting thought experiment because it might give us a little bit of a gauge of what's really going on in the country. You know, this is one of the things with democracy that's so crazy is that, and this whole system is so goddamn nuts. You know, like the Donald Trump won by razor thin margins in several states in 2016. But then we look at it as the result is Donald Trump won. So what does that say about the country? And it says X, Y, and Z. You know, the people are furious at the system. People are so racist. The Russians, what, you know, whatever you want to like, you know, put into there. And we've spent years talking about what we think it means. But if those votes just flip the other way, you know, a few thousand votes the other way, Hillary Clinton wins. And then the story is this whole other thing. The story is, you know, that Donald Trump, the country's too smart to fall for Donald Trump, or just that the Democrats have so much control, whatever you want to say. But really, it's not that different of a country. These were just 10,000 votes in a country of 320 million people. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, nothing drastically changed. We're still living in that same country. But so the thought experiment for this election is the following. What if we didn't do mail-in ballots? What if they didn't, you know, redo the entire election season? Now, Donald Trump got more votes than any Republicans ever gotten before. And it was, you know, the in-person voting that favored him. Now, how many of those Joe Biden voters were still going to go vote in person? Were they that motivated? You know, you could just hate Donald Trump, but that might make you send in a mail-in ballot. Or there might be fraud there. And so then that's eliminated if we did the in-person voting, or at least to some degree eliminated. Was Joe Biden really going to excite people enough to get him out to the polls? Is it possible that if we had the in-day voting, Donald Trump wins this thing huge? And I certainly think that's possible. Again, file that into the didn't happen, doesn't, you know, affect the results, but it does kind of tell you something about where the country really is. Okay. One of the things that's really hilarious, just the richest to me, dynamic of this whole thing is that now, if you look at the corporate press, what the whole thing is that, look, this vote was fair. There is no voter fraud. You're a fucking, you know,
no evidence.
You're a racist conspiracy theorist. If you think there was any voter fraud, you're a deplorable, basically, if you think there was any voter fraud. And what Donald Trump's doing is disgraceful, and he is challenging, you know, he's undermining democracy and blah, 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 all of this stuff. And it's only going to intensify because they're about to call the race for Joe Biden. Donald Trump is not going to concede. And this is going to be like, you know, like when we talk about there are these moments where they really circle, the media sharks really circle. And it's like when Donald Trump wants to pull troops out of Syria, all of a sudden, all you hear is the Kurds, and he's the worst person ever. And this is, oh my God, he should be, you know, impeached, he should be killed, whatever, all this stuff, because we have to protect the Kurds. And then like a week later, you realize they never cared about the Kurds. They just had to win that battle. Well, right now, what you're gonna see is that times 100,000. This is going ever. They're going to declare Joe Biden the victory. They are going to circle the sharks around anyone who will support Donald Trump. You are now considered Hitler in the corporate press if you defend Trump going to court and fighting this and all of that stuff.
You have to honor our process. You have to honor democracy. The total opposite of what you heard the last time around with Russia.
This is what's so rich about the whole thing is it's like, listen, I'm sorry. Even if you believe that there isn't really any evidence of voter fraud or something like that, I'm sorry. These same people who fucking talked about the election being illegitimate last time for the first 3 years of this guy's presidency, then when that fell apart, moved to impeach him and then just shifted over to blaming him for every COVID death or whatever the latest thing was. But the idea that you now go, oh, dude, totally unfair. Got to respect election results. Got to have a peaceful transition of power. Can't try to undermine the next guy who's the president. Like, sorry. And this is kind of the theme of the last 4 years of America. But this is the bed that you guys made, establishment. Every inch of this This is the bed that the corporate press and the ruling elite made. If you guys didn't fuck up so badly, Donald Trump would never be there to begin with. And if you guys hadn't undermined people's faith in the democratic process to begin with, there'd probably be a good chance that he wouldn't be able to get away with this shit. But all of a sudden, there's no narrative about Russian interference, right? There's no narrative in the corporate press about any type of interference. All of a sudden now, we know this election is legitimate because the guy they wanted to won, even though we completely redid the election process this year. There's no room to be skeptical at all. And that is just a fucking...
This man,
wonderful development.
Joe Biden has the support of the country and millions of people that want him to go to work helping them. And you getting half the country to think his presidency is illegitimate won't allow him to start working to heal our country.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, there's also, you know, Joe Biden, for somebody, if you are so confident, as the Biden campaign team is claiming they are, and as Joe Biden is claiming his whole thing is to be a uniter, right? Like, I'm not going to just be president of the people who supported me. I'm the president for everybody and all this. Well, what you would want would be to alleviate any of these concerns. You'd want to make sure that his poll watchers are allowed in there, make sure any legal challenges he has are heard. You'd really want to reassure people that you won this thing legitimately. And that's not exactly what's going on here. They're just kind of vilifying everybody and who questions it and trying to shut it down and all of these things. All right, guys, let's take a quick second. I want to thank our sponsor for today's show, which is Sheath Underwear. Sheath makes the most comfortable boxer briefs I've ever worn in my life. They're literally the only underwear I wear at this point. They're a game changer. Here's what makes Sheath unique. Their stretchy fabric is made out of moisture-wicking technology. They feel super soft and keep everything cool, comfortable, and in place. It's the perfect underwear for working out. Plus, the most unique thing about Sheath underwear is they have dual pouches that keep your man parts separated and prevent things from sticking together. Everything just is right where they're supposed to be. I'll tell you, I was a little skeptical about the pouches, but it's changed my life. I love it more than anything else. And if you don't like the pouches, you don't even have to use them. You can just wear it like regular underwear, and it'll just be the most comfortable pair of boxer briefs you've ever worn in your life. Plus, the founder of Sheath Underwear is a big fan of this show, and he's a libertarian. So definitely go support this company. You can do that by going to sheathunderwear.com. Get the most comfortable underwear you will ever own. And if you use the promo code PROBLEM20, you're going to get 20% off your order. One more time, that's sheathunderwear.com, promo code PROBLEM20 for 20% off. All right, let's get back into the show. There is, you know, like I said, focusing on kind of the bigger picture of all of this. One of the things that happened here that really has thrown a wrench in the kind of establishment corporate press narrative is that as I said, and this was clear enough, I said this on our live stream on election night, that the idea that Trumpism was going to be repudiated on November 3rd did not happen. It simply did not happen. This is, even if we, you know, believe the, with say there's no voter fraud, there's no cheating or anything like that, still was, Trumpism was not repudiated, like not at all. His vote total went up by millions of votes. He did very good in this election. If the fucking, you know, if Donald Trump had never been president to begin with, and this was just his election results, people would be like, holy shit, he did incredibly well. If Joe Biden ends up winning this, even by the corporate press narrative, it's going to be by like a couple thousand votes in Pennsylvania that he ends up getting by this. He ended up holding on to the, the blue wall by, what is this? I mean, like a few thousand votes, 20,000 votes in Wisconsin, 30,000 votes in Michigan. This is a very, very slim lead. In Arizona, he's, you know, his votes are right around the same. I mean, this is, he won by the skin of his teeth in the places that he needed to. And that's what happened here. This wasn't a repudiation. And in fact, the fact that Donald Trump is looking at close to 70 million votes, up from 63 million votes. This is not a small, you know, deal. And so this is the weird thing. And this is going to be very interesting to kind of see how this plays out going forward. Donald Trump won decisively over the last 5 years, the right wing in America. And the Republican base, like all of that, they are Trumpers. I mean, that's he has them locked down. And they also, you know, from most of their perspectives, this is essentially a war. And that's the way it is from the Democrats' perspective, too, that this is like a war. This isn't, you know, Clinton Dole. Like, this isn't just like some typical election. And that's why Bob Murphy had a great tweet about this the other day where he was like, he said something like, let me actually pull up the tweet verbatim just because it was good and I don't want to fuck it up. So he was talking about the idea of the Democrats cheating. And he said, here we go. He said, I don't know how much cheating there may have been, but the notion that it's absurd for Republicans to worry about it is rich. We know for a fact that the Democratic Party were willing to cheat to screw Bernie supporters. You don't think they would screw Trump supporters? Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, a really great point and a great way to look at it. I mean, we already know what these people will do to cheat to get their guy in. Are you telling me to get Donald Trump out, they wouldn't be willing to bend the rules? Of course they would. And Republicans who support Trump overwhelmingly gave him more votes than any other Republican president ever. They know this. Now, their feeling is that the entire corporate press, the entire establishment, big corporations, Hollywood, academia, and the deep state have all been trying to sabotage Donald Trump from day one. And they're kind of right about that. Okay. So they're way past the point of, well, do we follow the process? Is this legitimate? Is this not? They want their guy to win no matter what. And I think at this point, they feel almost justified, even if he were to find a way to steal it. Because at this point, it's like, it doesn't matter. This is war. This is the future of our country. Are we going to live or die? You know, at that point, like, it's like if your family's life was on the line and it's like, what are you willing to do to protect them? It's like, well, the answer is anything. Anything that you can do to get the result that you want. That's it. There's no more like, you know, ethical rules of combat or something like that. It's just whatever you have to do. So that's the mentality of a lot of people on both sides. Okay. On both sides. So right now, Donald Trump was not repudiated. That has completely collapsed. And this is a really, really important development in terms of how the future of American politics, particularly the right half of American politics, are going to go. So the narrative was, you know, for a long time from the corporate press. Well, before 2016, it was that Donald Trump is done. He has no chance. Hillary Clinton's got a 90% chance of winning this thing, and it's probably going to be a landslide because Donald Trump has alienated all of the Latino voters, the Black voters, all of this stuff. He's so stupid and racist that he could never be president. And also, he's toxic because anyone who supports him is going down. So the Republicans are also going to lose the House and the Senate. And they were completely wrong in 2016. He beat Hillary Clinton. The Republicans won the House and the Senate. Okay. So they were wrong about all of that shit. The narrative this time was again that Donald Trump is going to be toxic toward anyone else. There's going to be a repudiation of Trumpism. He's going to get blown out by Biden, and the Republicans are going to lose the Senate and the Democrats will keep the House. And none of this happened. The Republicans kept the House and they made gains in the, I'm sorry, the Republicans kept the Senate and they made gains in the House. And Donald Trump increased his vote totals by millions of votes. So here's the dynamic as it's unfolding. They're about to declare Joe Biden the winner. They're going to circle the sharks around Trump and anybody who will support Donald Trump. This is going to be the most uniquely evil thing that's ever happened in American history, that Donald Trump is not conceding the election. And any Republicans, and now what they're doing is they're peeling off groups of Republican support for Donald Trump. Now, they're peeling off the one group they don't have to work hard to peel off are the Republicans who have always hated Donald Trump, which represents a fairly sizable portion of the Republican establishment, the majority. But now they're also peeling off anyone who's just a little bit squeamish, like I don't know. You know, the sharks are circling. So I don't know if I really want to get in the middle of that. Maybe I'll walk over here and just save. You know, I don't want to be the most evil person in America on national TV every day. And then there will be the people who defend Donald Trump and support him. And those people will own the right half of this country for the next years to come, because the base loves Donald Trump. And I mean, loves Donald Trump. He is their guy, rightfully or wrongfully, you know, that's how they see it. That he is their guy, the only one willing to fight for them as the greatest country in the history of the world has been stolen from them. That's how they look at this. And so the future of the Republican Party is nationalist and populist. It is not going back to the neoconservatives. It's not going back to the milquetoast establishment types. That's just not happening. And so right now, and this is true, I'll tell you, this is true beyond just politicians. This is true for the kind of right-wing Republican type pundits. Those who are supporting Donald Trump hard right now, they're going to own the influence of the right wing in America moving forward. And those who go, well, there's really no evidence of voter fraud and there's really no this, and he should really just concede, they are going to lose their influence in a massive way going forward. People are really furious about this, and they're going to remember who was on Trump's side and who wasn't. Now, understand, by the way, none of this is an endorsement of either side. I'm just saying this is how I think things are going to go right now and into the future. And it's going to be interesting to see.
Who do you think are the big ones that are going to come out in his support?
Well, I don't know for sure. That's what I'm going to be interested to watch.
I think some of the Warhawk guys, like a Lindsey Graham, is probably not.
Well, Lindsey Graham has kind of attempted to reinvent himself, so I don't know. Although I haven't heard much from him thus far. Mitch McConnell, haven't heard much from him thus far. I think those types are going to keep Trump at arm's distance. I think, look, you already see Rudy Giuliani. He's going hard for him. Chris Christie already bailed. He was already criticizing Trump for saying he won the vote and all that stuff. So we'll see. But that's something to keep our eyes on going forward.
Christie's so weird because he even was criticizing him for the corona stuff, for having gotten corona, which was big for, you know, the election season, to say that the president was reckless in the way that they were handling it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. There are a lot of people, and this is the way it kind of works in general with these things, is they kind of send. So if there's an insurrection within, say, you know, whatever, within the Republican base or something like that, let's say the Tea Party movement or the Trump movement or anything like that, you get about half the establishment Republicans go to criticize it and say, this is the worst thing I've ever seen. You know, this is so outrageous. This is evil. This isn't true conservatism. This is racism or whatever the fuck, you know, their tactic is. And they see how many people they can peel off of it that way, because they might be some people who still have a little bit of influence. So you can peel support off. And then the other half go in to infiltrate it. And they go in to be like, you know what? Yes, the Tea Party or the Trump represents true republicanism, and this is the best. And then they work to undermine it at every turn, or co-opt it, which are kind of one and the same. So that's how it works. But then in a moment like this, what you'll see is a lot of the people who went in to co-opt it now peeling out all of a sudden and leaving him kind of defenseless. And then they can go, look, even this Trump supporter is saying he ought to concede the election and all of this stuff. So that's the way this tends to work. And so that's something to keep your eye on going.
All right, so how long does this process even go? Does it get up to the Supreme Court? How much of an investigation do we see? Do accounting experts come in to start doing audits and mentioning all like the red flags of statistical inconsistencies, or does the whole thing get brushed under the rug? Like, just, I don't know. What do you predict in terms of this battle being played out?
Well, we've seen a shift. Maybe a shift isn't the way to put it. We've seen an acceleration, a dramatic acceleration of corporate press tactics over the last few months.
including censorship in the worst way. Which includes when people were posting these articles about the dumps and the spikes after they shut down the voting. From what I understand, even from like legitimate news sources, like not quite the New York Post, but those stories were getting pulled down immediately.
Yeah. Well, look, as we were talking about a couple weeks back with the Hunter Biden stuff, this was a different level. Now, you could say this is why I changed the word shift and said it's an acceleration in the tactics, because okay, it was kind of going this way, and there was, you know, obviously the media would ignore some stories or not have people on to criticize some stories, and they'd put a lot of bullshit fake news out there and all of this stuff. But there was something very different about banning a link from being shared and silencing like the fourth or fifth biggest newspaper in the country,
and you got their
Twitter account. That was a different level of thing. And, you know, of course, our private Facebook group got caught up in this. This was a different thing this year. Now, our private Facebook group, there were all types of different perspectives in that group. And people would post things about all types of different, you know, like conspiracy theories, and you know, like sometimes just with the like, what do you guys think of this? Is this interesting? Or shared it. It was all of a sudden this year with the COVID stuff, and then later with Hunter Biden stuff and stuff like that, where every day I would if I opened my Facebook app, it would be like boom, 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 boom. All these posts were removed because they'd like let the admin know this was removed because it's fake news. This was removed. They started just taking things down, and the corporate press made a decision. We are not covering the Hunter Biden thing. Now, this was a real change. I mean, this was a big acceleration in their strategy from even 2016, where they might, you know, take a different stance on the Hillary Clinton email scandal, but they wouldn't just say, there's no email scandal. I don't know what you're talking about. And by the way, if you share that link, you're getting removed from social media. I don't know what you're talking about. There's no emails. That didn't happen. That's Russian disinformation. Like, that was not what they did in 2016. And they really ramped that up just now. Listen, yesterday, okay, and this was even kind of stunning to watch. So when the president came out to speak, at NBC and I think two other cable news shows, but I was watching MSNBC at the time and I had to change the channel because I want to hear what the fucking president is saying. They literally let him start. They go, okay, first off, it starts with Rachel Maddow was making fun of him because they're like, Donald Trump has not been seen in the flesh since election night. He's hiding out. I guess he doesn't want to see. And then they go, oh, we're being told that the president's going to speak in a half hour. And then he comes on and he goes, listen, there's been massive voter fraud. And they cut away from the president speaking. And they all start going, I'm sorry, the president is lying. And so we're just not going to air that. Sorry, we have to correct this right now. There's been no voter fraud. And it's like, wow, this is quite. Now, if you are even maintaining the tiniest pretense of we do journalism here, then of course, no matter how you feel about it, this is fucking news. And that's true to everybody. However you feel about it, the guy is the sitting president of the United States not accepting the results of an election. This is huge news. Like, you know, a huge story in American history right now. And for you to just say, no, we're not showing our viewers this because we've decided it's wrong. We've decided no voter fraud. Like, I mean, I don't know. It's still a news story to see what the president of the United States is saying. He's still the sitting president. He's still a guy who got millions more votes this time around than he did last time around. You might want to hear from him. You might want to try to alleviate the concerns of his passionate supporters. Maybe you want to, you know, whatever. None of that. They want to silence him. Twitter, if you look at the president's Twitter feed, about half of his recent tweets since all of this has been going down are like blanked over with a like, this is fake news thing that you have to click on in order to see them, and still keeps a message above it that this is fake news. So to get to your question, how will they handle this? I at this point, I got to say, I don't think it's beyond the realm of possibility that Donald Trump will just get banned from Twitter and the corporate press won't report what he's saying. I really don't think that is that crazy of a leap at this point. It's like if we're accelerating, you know, like the corporate press tactics from like over the years, it's like 1, 2, 3, and they just went to 8. You know what I mean? It's like, well, they just went from 3 to 8. Well, we might be at 10. And to me, 10 looks like Jack Dorsey removing Donald Trump or just silencing him in some way, locking his Twitter account like they did the New York Post. The corporate press just not airing his press conferences. And the truth is, then Donald Trump is greatly silenced. And it's going to be much harder for him to reach a big audience of people, even that could even be done to a sitting president of the United States of America. As crazy as that sounds, it's not that far off from what we've seen over the last few days.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It's crazy, but what's really crazy is that it's not that far off.
I think you said it best. The way that they're covering these stories now is by saying that there's no story there. They're not even addressing it, which is, you can look at it from both sides. You could say it like Trump's been doing this amazing thing that he did all the way back with Obama when he said he's not, you know, show us the thing. You're not a birther. So he does this like good job of maybe creating things that are false, but really sticky. And the way propaganda works, something gets reported on enough, true or not, people just kind of take away from the bullet point. And so there's like a sticky thing there. So I don't agree with what the corporate press is doing, but if you take the side that Trump is lying, like you take the Hunter Biden story and you say it is lying. And so the way the propaganda machine works is that the more we repeat something, the more true it looks. So if we take something that's false and we go, hey, there's this thing that we think is false, and we say it a whole bunch, people kind of delete the false thing. And the sticky part is, oh, there's a laptop, or oh, Hunter Biden fucks kids. And so they start going, well, we can't even put this out because until it's verified, which they're never going to verify, we don't want this sticky information floating around. But that's also not journalism, because they're supposed to report on what people are kind of looking into, or what, you know, what stories exist out there, especially if it's coming from the president, which is kind of goes back to my initial point of that it's getting harder and harder to critically think about any of these things because there's more censorship. There isn't really an exploration of it. So you just have to go, what lie do I think makes more sense here?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's right. All right, guys, let's take a quick second. I want to thank our sponsor for today's show, which is Blue Chew. If you like sex, you're going to love Blue Chew, and you can grab them at bluechew.com. Blue Chew offers men a performance enhancement for the bedroom. At bluechew.com, you can get the first chewables with the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. Of course, chewables can work faster than pills, up to twice as fast, and the chewables from bluechew.com can be taken on a full or empty stomach. The online physician consultant is free, so it's cheaper than those other two. It only takes a few minutes to connect with a bluechew.com affiliated physician. If you qualify, you get prescribed online quickly, so there's no in-person doctor visit. You don't have to have some awkward conversation and then go wait in line at a pharmacy. It ships directly to your door in discreet packaging. The chewables from bluechew.com are prescribed online by a doctor, and they are made in the USA. Blue Chew gives you the confidence in the bedroom every time. You and your partner will love it. And here's a great deal for you guys. If you visit bluechew.com, you'll get your first order free when you use the promo code PROBLEM. You just pay $5 for the shipping, but the order is free. That's bluechew.com, bluechew.com. Promo code PROBLEM. All right, let's get back into the show. So look, the truth is with I find it, and I don't know, I'm not a lawyer, you know, but I find it very hard to imagine a scenario where Donald Trump is successful through litigation, that he gets this to the Supreme Court. And even if he were to somehow get it to the Supreme Court, that they don't, you know, stab him in the back and go the other way.
You have to bust Biden or the Democratic Party for somehow intentionally cheating. And even if you do that, that might not be enough to overthrow the election, because you might be able to go, all right, well, we know they intended to cheat, but we don't actually know what the ballots are to say that they cheated to this amount. And so we have to let it stand. But I don't even think that there'll be the manpower, willpower, or, you know, to actually run that investigation, which to me is kind of sad, because I just think that there's enough. What you were saying, it doesn't make sense that there's such high voter turnout that he managed to flip areas that the local people couldn't. He got more enthusiasm than Hillary. You're telling me that more of the Democratic base was into this election than the last one and really wanted to show up for Hunter Biden? And you also want to tell me that there's 100% of ballots that were coming in for him and they were all after the fact? Like, there's just too much here to go, wait, something's up.
Oh yeah. I mean, I think that I'm, you know, as with anything that the government is doing, I think it's like fucking, it was really crazy to me to see some of the like kind of left libertarian types like mocking and dismissing the idea that there could be voter fraud. You're like, oh, so this is, it's just like what Trump did with the corporate press and the Democrats and left wingers in general. It's like, so Trump really just broke your brain so much, Mr. Libertarian, that you're now going, the idea that the government could cheat is impossible. Like, okay, sure. Like, you don't have to love Trump to be like, yeah, of course there's shadiness going on all over the place. And yeah, there were some things that seemed pretty fucking shady. But in terms of the reality of the situation, that I really don't see a way that Donald Trump hangs on to the presidency now. However, I think that, and this seems pretty clear so far, that what Donald Trump is going to do, and this just goes back to the point I was saying, that it's all the establishment's fault that he's here to begin with. Like, if you guys didn't fail so much, and particularly fail so many of these rural red areas in the country, they probably would have just gone with like Jeb Bush or somebody like that, like you've gotten them to do 1,000 times in the past. They are there, you know, in the freezing cold, coming out in the tens of thousands, chanting, "We love you," to Donald Trump because of your failures. Donald Trump, Jeb Bush would have been your nominee. He would have lost gracefully and accepted the, you know, results as Hillary Clinton was sworn in. And Donald Trump would be hosting Celebrity Apprentice season 12 or whatever, if you guys didn't fuck everything up. And what did Donald Trump do from the very beginning? As you just got to, he came on the political scene with what? Obama birther shit. He was right away. He always, you know, they always say he fucking dog whistles racism and shit like that or whatever. I don't know if I've ever really bought that, but he definitely dog whistles conspiracies. Donald Trump has always either dog whistled or just blatantly called them. I mean, he would go on Alex Jones' show, and when Alex Jones was like, well, you know, the globalists brought down 9/11, Trump would be like, well, you know, a lot of people say that. You know, like, he'd always kind of like, he would never give you a like, no, there's no way that's true. And he's done that throughout his entire run. Stuff about the swamp, about the military industrial complex stuff, on even with the COVID stuff, he would talk about how they're locking this down to ruin his economy, all of this stuff. And of course, he's right back to it again, that there was a whole shady operation here. And if you were the establishment, like if you really believed what the people at CNN and MSNBC and the New York Times tell you they believe, like if they really believe like, oh, the country is too divided and this conspiracy stuff is bullshit, it's not true, the system is really above water, and, you know, well, you would think you would want to ask yourself, why does this resonate with so many, with tens of millions of Americans? Why are they so ready to believe that this system is not legitimate? And that opens up a whole can of worms if you want to ask yourself that. Anyway,
how bad is this Biden thing going to be? I mean, just how bad is it going to get?
Well, I think there are some people out there on both sides of the political spectrum who catastrophize the results of elections when they don't go their way. And I have tried my best to be fair in my assessment of Trumpism from the very beginning. And of course, this gets me accused of being a Trump supporter by all of the people with Trump derangement syndrome and, you know, whatever. But I try to assess these things fairly. My attitude in these elections, I'm not emotionally invested the way a lot of other people are. And I don't, you know, I love this because I love the theater of it and I love the history that we're living through. I find it so fascinating and weirdly exciting because I'm a fucking dork like that. But I look at Joe Biden, I kind of look at things this way. I think there is, even if Joe Biden does end up being sworn in January, which it looks like he's going to, I don't know that this is the worst thing for, say, pro Trump supporters, for Trump, nationalist populist type right wingers. I don't know. I mean, again, I'm not saying it is. I'm not saying it might be very bad. But look, Joe Biden's going to be president. he is going to, now that he's president, he can't hide out in his basement anymore. He's got to talk. He's got to talk a lot. It's going to be hilarious. He's going to fall apart in front of us. I really don't see how he makes it more than a year. I think there's no way he serves a full term. If he doesn't serve a full term, Kamala Harris becomes the president. The most uncharismatic, unelected, no mandate, nothing even approaching a mandate. This would, she'd be the weakest candidate ever, who I think could not possibly win re-election. If there are, if things don't go good over the next year or two, which they, I think, almost certainly will not, there's a lot of economic pain that's going to come due. There's going to be, I think they've established this thing now where there's riots every time a cop kills a black guy. I think that's going to continue. I think you're poised to see a huge Republican wave sweep the House and the Senate in the midterm elections. And then you're going to, one way or the other, be looking at an incredibly weak presidential candidate in 2024. And like I said, the Donald Trump base is very strong, and I think only going to get stronger. So there is a huge opening, in the next few years for this country to be taken in a different direction. So that would kind of be what I said. It's they don't have all three branches. The Republicans kept the Senate. I don't think they're going to pack the Supreme Court. I don't think it's possible at this point. There'll be some stimulus spending, I'm sure. There'll be a lot of woke lecturing, I'm sure. But, truthfully, and this is all I would say to the nationalist populist types, I hear from a lot of them that they're kind of like, let me say this. I understand why Donald Trump was your guy. I really do get that. I understand why you were like, finally, somebody willing to fight and willing to fight the evil establishment that hates your guts. And don't get it twisted. They do. They hate your guts. They hate everything about you. They hate every semblance of normalcy, of tradition about this country that you love. They have absolute contempt for you. And they also have absolute contempt for Donald Trump. And Donald Trump was pissing them the fuck off. So I understand why you loved that guy. But a lot of the disaster scenarios that people, talk about, they're already here. You know, it's like, oh, is there going to be a lot of woke lecturing? What, has there not been this whole time? Oh, what are the fucking, are the cultural Marxists or whoever, the woke people, are they going to take over the institutions? What? Donald Trump literally just like a month and a half ago was like, I'm banning critical race theory from all these institutions. It's been there the whole time. He didn't do anything. Also, from my perspective, Americans have lost more of their way of life and more freedom over this last year than at any other year in my lifetime. And Trump being in there did nothing to stop it from happening. The riots that went on all over the country, Trump did nothing to stop it. And you could say, okay, he was waiting to be invited in or this or that, or it was Democratic governors who did this. And then fine, fair enough. But Trump being there didn't stop it. And of course, lots of other issues that I really care about, like the debt and wars ending. I mean, Trump didn't stop that. Now, I am more concerned about Joe Biden getting us into a new war. And I think that's a real issue. But my point is just that it's not as if Donald Trump was this silver bullet that fixed everything. And it might actually be the case that Donald Trump was opening the door for the next leader to come in. Or it might be the case that Donald Trump runs in 2024. Who the fuck knows? A lot of things are possible right now. The other kind of elephant in the room, or the other aspect to all of this that I think is not being appreciated fully, is that Donald Trump, the human being, is not going to be vanquished. Donald Trump is the president of the United States until mid-January. Now, what is a Trump with nothing to lose, who is scorned and believed he's been cheated? What does that guy look like? What does ex-president Donald Trump going around doing podcasts, telling all, what does that look like? It is possible that Donald Trump, even if, like, let's say he conceded the election today and Joe Biden has won, it's possible that from henceforth, Donald Trump is more of a thorn in the establishment side than he even has been over the last 5 years. That is possible. And so there's a lot of interesting possibilities here. I also, you know, I think that sometimes politics works in strange ways. I think that what I just said, talking about the midterm elections and the reelection efforts of the Democrats, I think the Democrats are going to be very aware of this. And they're going to, like, I think there will actually be a lot of pressure on Joe Biden and Kamala Harris to say, like, put down riots if they rise up, because they know what that's going to do to them in the midterm elections. So we will see. I would just say don't take it as like a foregone conclusion that, okay, because Biden's president, things have to work this way now. There's a lot of moving pieces here. Again, I'm not saying there's nothing to be concerned about. There's a lot to be very, very concerned about. But here's like I don't know. Here's the silver lining. The silver lining to the anti-Trumpers, to the people with Trump derangement syndrome, is like, you got the big bad orange man. It looks like you're going to get him out, right? It looks that way right now. Not 100%, but like 95% right now. Okay. So that's your silver lining. And if you're right that 2016 was this aberration and Donald Trump is the cause of all of our problems, well, okay. So you got that guy away. So that's the silver lining for you guys. It looks like Joe Biden is going to be installed as president, whether or not, you know, you believe he was elected. It looks like he's going to be installed as the 46th president of the United States of America. But the silver lining for Trump supporters is that in a lot of ways, this election was proof that 2016 was not an aberration. It wasn't. Think about the fact that with all the mail-in voting stuff, with all the potential shenanigans, with everything that happened this year, with Trump's number one claimed success, the economic prosperity being taken away from him, with just the worst year in modern American history, he was still able to do this. He was still able to increase his vote total by millions of votes. He was also able to really, in a pretty profound way, shake up the identitarian racialist kind of narrative about who supports who. Or, you know, he proved in so many ways that it is possible to not only, like, you know, not only campaign, but to win. In a way that every one of the experts would have told you couldn't be done. So a lot of the possibilities have shifted. The matrix has been broken. It's not going back to the way it was before. And there is this potential, you know, for how to pick up on this movement now. It's kind of mapped out in a way. And there's a lot of possibilities. So I think there is a silver lining there for Trump supporters. For libertarians, for people who care about limiting government, balancing budgets, individual freedom, ending wars. There's no silver lining for you. You guys, we're boned. But what are you going to do? That's but again, here's the silver lining. That's
the cocks will rise again. We're going to do great next time.
We're used to this, but we're used to this.
Wood Smith.
Wood Smith, 2024. There you go. All right. Don't start getting this fucking. I said one comment about that on Scott Horton's show the other time. I'm just flooded with tweets. Dave said he'd do it and all of this. Let's just hang tight. We'll see what happens on that front. But there's just a lot of possibilities. We're in uncharted water in a lot of ways. And I got to say, and this might be my own, you know, bias or my own animosity toward the establishment, but I do think in some way, after what they did to Donald Trump, and you can feel however you want to about how Trump governed or how he campaigned or the man himself or any of this shit, but what they did to Donald Trump, turning the national spying apparatus on his campaign, then the deep state attempting a straight up coup, flirting with invoking the 25th Amendment, ultimately sicking a special prosecutor on him, the entire corporate press with this bullshit campaign of how he wasn't even really elected. He worked with Vladimir Putin to undermine the election, and that's the only reason he's here. With on top of that, calling his supporters the most awful names, all of this shit that people have had to live with. For him to go out like this and be like, it was stolen from me, for him to guarantee that his supporters will never believe in this system again, it seems so poetically just to me. Like, it seems so like, yeah, good for you. Fuck all of them. That the idea that you're now expected that these same people, the same motherfuckers who did this to you, will turn over and be like, we expect of you that you will say, yes, I concede, and this was a legitimate process and all of this shit. And he's like, no, fuck that. That to me seems, in many ways, as while everybody else is freaking out about how uniquely horrible of a thing that is to do, that seems to me like right on. Good for you. You guys got what you fucking deserved. Well, maybe they didn't get what they deserved, but at least there's a little taste of what they deserved. Aside from that, I think it should, you know, the grander takeaway from all of this is that this is just this is stupid. This is all so ridiculous. I mean, if nothing else is on display here, it's just how stupid democracy is. This whole thing makes no sense. You know, it's like, and that's something to the Trump supporters that I'd say that maybe you guys want to think about a little bit. It's like, do you want to get into this game? By the way, it's a game you can't win. I understand why you want to compete, because that is the game as the rules are set now. And, you know, you want to get in and have a shot. But it's like, okay, so in 2016, you get to fucking, you know, watch all those compilations of all the people you hate crying. And there's like, oh, screaming in the streets and people on the Young Turks and MSNBC melting down because Trump won. And don't get me wrong, I had fun with those videos too. I understand. And now they're going to have fun with you guys. And there's all the memes of the crying Trump fan and ah, ha, ha, you lost. And this is it. So every 4 years, we're going to have this game where 30,000 votes in fucking Michigan or something like that determines who gets to be the ones crying and who's the ones poking fun at them. Or like, can we just realize that this is just this whole thing of having a game of which half of the country gets to rule over the other half and make them miserable for the next 4 years is stupid. And that we should probably be working to just reduce the power of the federal government and allow people to go their own separate ways. Like, maybe no one has to be crying every 4 years. Maybe, you know, those freaks can go live like those freaks and these dummies can go live like these dummies and we don't have to fucking be at each other's throats over it. Maybe that's just a better way. I will say, though, I am enjoying the show. I'm enjoying the show and I will continue to. But anyway, so that's to me, I think, where we are about now in election. I'm actually going to refresh the election results just to see. And nope, still have not called Pennsylvania, at least according to the Associated Press. But 98% of the vote is in, and Joe Biden is leading by a few thousand votes, about 8,000 votes right now. They have him up by. So that's how close this whole fucking thing is. So we'll see what's going to happen. No, it'll be fun. And we'll be right here with you to fucking make fun of it for the next few years, no matter who gets in there. Anything else you wanted to add, Rob?
November 28th, New Hampshire, hit me up. And then December 5th down in Philly, doing a end of year recap. Going to blow some people's minds. So, you know, robbythefire.com. I got the ticket links and always Run Your Mouth podcast.
All right, my brother. Sounds good. Thank you guys for listening. We'll be back soon. Peace.